I want to turn your attention to the hymnody, the hymnology of Israel. I thank God for the choir. I thank God for those voices. Because it is important that we magnify our God. And what does magnification mean? It simply means that we get so deep into him that God overshadows and overwhelms everything else in our lives. And praise will allow you to enter into his presence where you see God before you see anything else. Psalm 46, hallelujah. Psalm 46 and verse 1, and we're not going to read much. If you're there, say amen, hallelujah. And all of those in the sanctuary that are able, we invite you to please stand. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Help me, Lord. A very present help in time of trouble. Let me say that again. God is our refuge and strength. Please notice the qualifier. It does not say a present. It says a very present help. More trouble, more God. Now look what it says now. I didn't write this. And because of that, that means therefore. In other words, once you accept this, this is what follows. If you can hold on to verse 1, these are some of the things, and please hear me for those of you who write, who like to write in such a, those of you who want to meditate on this. It says, therefore, we will not fear. Is there some fear mongering going on in our land? It says, we will not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. Then it says, Selah. In other words, when you see Selah, you have to pause. You have to pause because if you rush to what's next, you're going to miss what the Spirit is saying to you. So we're going to have to pause right now. Then it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. How many of you know this is God's house? Say after me, church. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Give God some mighty praise. There you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I am a dead man before dead women and men. I have nothing to say that is worth hearing unless you speak, Father. We are simply dust. Holy Spirit, have thine own way. Break me to make us. Break me to be a vessel and an instrument of peace. That your people, may be blessed, for it is in your pleasure that you have given your people the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, the people of God said, amen. Beloved, today I just want to talk for a few minutes from the subject, playing for keeps. Playing for keeps. Here we are in the hymnody of Israel, the hymnody, and this psalmist here is somebody that is being a professor. This is Bible study. He's not being a professor, beloved, because he has been in the library. He's being a professor because he's been to life. There are some things you learn in the library, but there are some things you learn in life. What I like about his life, the psalmist, the Song of Kolah, is that this person has not just encountered the Word of God, he has encountered the God of the Word. He's not just read what God said, he has been with God. It is one thing to know somebody by what they write. It's another thing to get to know the person in and of themselves. This is somebody who is writing autobiographically. This is a memoir. Because the person is saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. The only way you can write that is because you have seen trouble and you have seen the triumphant one. The only way you can write that, my brother, my sister, is that you've been in difficulty and you've been delivered. The only way you can write that is that you've been on the sick bed and you've been recovered. The only way you can write that is that you understand what it means to be crucified and what it means to be resurrected. Because this person did not meet God on a beach. He did not meet God lying and reclining on their couch. This person met God in trouble. Now, I thought that was interesting when I was struggling with what to preach. Because this past week has probably been one of the most tumultuous, tempestuous, and troublesome weeks that you and I have experienced in a long time. You and I, thank you so much, you and I have been through a week whereby you cannot open the news channel. You cannot open the newspaper and not see trouble on every side. Trouble, the mismanagement of truth, trouble, exponentially increasing homicide rates, trouble, religious conflict, trouble, racial tension, trouble, the mismanagement of truth, trouble, the bombastic leadership of many areas of our country, trouble, the pointing of fingers to someone without looking at yourself, trouble, national arrogance and pride, trouble, the hurricanes, trouble, wildfire, trouble. And the question then becomes, even for those that worship at the tabernacle, if you are busy lifting up the newspaper and you don't lift up the Bible, you will fail in this moment. So the first thing I want to say is what the psalmist, Brother Ron, is teaching us is that if you're going to be somebody that is going to work with God and make glad that there are some streams that you need to get to God. And the first stream is the stream of vision. Hear me today. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about that on my phone, through conversations, through emails, through that believers right now are reeling and rocking under the pressure of this moment.
because of what they're able to see and what they're not able to see. Because if you're going to have vision, Sister Thurman, your vision, your ability to see as a Christian is based on your ability to hear. Because the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It also says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so if you are hearing the word of man and you're not hearing the word of God, your faith will fail you under troubled conditions. But this man says, though the earth shake, though the mountains roar and toss themselves into the sea, he says, we will not fear. Now I need you to look at this text, please, with me. If you watch what he's saying, this is somebody who has studied biology. He is someone that has studied geography, because what he has done in these verses 2 and 3 is what he has done in capturing the earth and the sea. He has captured everything in the visible realm of God. Notice I said the visible realm of God. He's saying, in other words, it's what we call the material foundations of God. Everything that we saw being created in Genesis chapter 1. That he's saying that everything that you and I see that we like and love, that there will come a time that those things will be destroyed. See, once you capture land and sea, you done captured everything. In other words, with land and sea, you done captured everything under the sun. You done captured fauna and flora. You done captured the earth. Everything that is tied to the earth, the plants, the animals, amphibians, reptiles, fish, birds. You done captured everything that comes up out of the earth. You done captured every building, every system, every institution, every bank, every home, every automobile, every... He says that even if that thing breaks down, if it decomposes, if it's no longer, our God still remains. Give God some mighty praise, because we need a word like that even in our land where it thinks everything is going crazy, everything is going for naught. The Bible is saying that God is our refuge. That means the school system is ultimately not my refuge. My bank account is not my refuge. That even the church building is not my refuge. Healthcare is not my... Even my marriage is not. God is our refuge. And beloved, maybe one of the lessons of this moment is that though we love God, we still love some other stuff. And maybe God got to tear some of that other stuff from us so that we could come back to the foundations. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. I need to go a little bit deeper here. You get to God not just through vision. You get to God through virtue. Virtue. It's a word that we Baptists and evangelicals don't like to deal with. Virtue has to do with character. And a whole lot of us want God to bless us, but we don't want to change our habits. And what happens to church people is that though we act righteous, there is a spirit of rebelliousness and pride that turns our world upside down. Because even when we act pious, you don't tell a man's virtue or a woman's virtue by how they act outside when everybody is looking. You tell a man's character or virtue by how they act when nobody is looking, which means that the person that knows who you really are is not those that love you, not those that serve with you or sing with you or work with you, is what do you say inside your head when nobody is looking? Are you smiling on the outside but cussing somebody on the inside? Are you harboring bitterness? Are you envious of somebody else because you lost a job and they kept the job, or you got divorced, amen, and they did not get divorced, or your relationship is going down? Are you able in your spirit in the midnight hour when nobody is looking to pray even for those that you think have more than you, or are you secretly wishing for the day that they fall? And I've come by to tell you that God will turn your world upside down if he looks in your heart and sees that you're harboring contempt, sees that you've had a stony heart. God will not release his blessings to you.
Amen.
God is looking for your heart. These are streams. Your heart is a stream. And a lot of times, God gave me this. He said, Pastor, too many church folk got hard hearts. You would think that COVID, listen to me, would have softened up some people. But I have seen more church people acting ignorant, acting arrogant, acting foolish, even under conditions that they don't know how to go to God and say, Lord, I'm broken. I've come by to tell you right now that if you want to get your blessing from God, understand that if it was not for his mercies, we would have already been consumed. Here's a law. The law of mercy. The law of mercy. In God's spirit, God always moves towards those that know that they are broken. If you are not broken in God, I don't care what you got or what you think you got. And I don't care who's oppressing you from the outside. Even if they're oppressing you from the outside, if you go to God and declare your own brokenness and make God bigger than your problem, God can liberate you. There was a young man. I'm sure many of you know him. He came from wealth. He had money and status, and he had a great future. But because of his rebelliousness, he went to his daddy and said, give me what belongs to me. He said, give me what belongs to me, Sister Mary. And he took his living, and he went away, and he spent it aimlessly and recklessly. Y'all know what happened when he had money. He had some friends, didn't he? But if something happened when the money went down, his friends went out. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me. And the Bible says something. I've been reading it for 45 years, and it struck me in prayer this week. The Bible says he came to himself, which means that you can have money and not have yourself. It means you can have health and not have yourself. You can have degrees and not have yourself. You can have status and not have yourself. And I'm saying this to you, Tabernacle, in a moment in which things are going well and our name is going broad, I've come by to tell you, Tabernacle, we need to get back to the place, our secret place, where we say, even when they're clapping, even when our name is going, we need to get back to the cross and say, if it was not for God who looked beyond my faults and addressed my needs, give God some mighty praise. For the Bible, Jesus. Many people lose their blessing because they got a little something and it goes to their head. And God said, that's it. I'm not giving you no more. But I've come by to tell you how to get power.
Amen.
Get power. You go back. The Bible says he came. He came to himself. And you can tell that he came to himself. Go back and read it. He came to himself, Sister Pierce, because he said, how many of my father's servants? He didn't talk about his father's riches. See, when you come to yourself, you don't talk about stuff that you know you don't deserve. When you come to yourself, you thank God if you can just get a little something of his blessing. You thank God for the crumbs underneath the table. You thank God for air, for water. Is there anybody here? You've been through some stuff and you learned, Lord, just give me all. Thank God for the little bit that you. Who am I talking to? Give God some mighty praise. He didn't ask. He said, if I can just go to one of my father's servants.
Oh, glory be to God. But now when he goes back home, his daddy, look at grace now, look at mercy. His daddy left the home. His daddy didn't beat him down. His daddy didn't cut him down. His daddy didn't cuss him out. His daddy didn't tell him to go and run around the block 15 times. His daddy didn't make him do push-ups. His daddy didn't whoop. His daddy said, come on in. I've come by to tell you, when you come to God with brokenness, tabernacle, your God will not punish you. He will just come and say, come home, my child. But he had a brother, y'all. I said he had a brother. And his brother was home. And he went out and he heard the songs and he heard the music. He heard the gathering. He heard the homecoming. And he called one of the servants. Said, what's going on there? Said, your brother is home. And he wasn't broken enough where he could celebrate his brother that had come home. And the Bible says one of the most indicting lines of all scripture. He refused to come in. Notice how God reverses the text. The man who we thought didn't deserve it is inside being celebrated. The servants who are working with him are inside, but the firstborn child that you would think would be the one there trying to direct and minister, because of his lack of character, he is the one with his own spirit that refused to go in. Whole lot of Christians, because of their arrogance and rebelliousness, they have locked themselves out of God's blessing, God's riches, and God's mercy. Is there anybody here that understands that mercy suits your case? Give God some mighty praise. Mercy. Come to him in your brokenness. There are a whole lot of stuff that you got in your name that you can't even remember that you did. Mercy. Give God some praise. Mercy. For my food, mercy. For my family, mercy. For my finance, mercy. For my future, God, look beyond my fault. Mercy. He said, I will come and meet you at the mercy seat. There will I see you. It doesn't matter who is oppressing us from the outside. We that know God, God can lift you. God can lift you from where you are in a moment, if you cry out for mercy. I got to stay right here. Joseph talked about, look at the dreams I have had at 17. And that God broke him down into the pit. Broke him down in Potiphar's house. Broke him down in prison. And when he got to prison, when they came to him, he never talked about our dream. He said, are these not the dreams? Does God not have the power to interpret dreams? It's no longer about his eye. It's about what God can do. And then God lifted him up. I've come by to tell you that God will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. If you could change your attitude, change what's going on in your mind, change what's going on in your spirit. Well, after God gives you vision, and after God, I'm almost through here, after God gives you virtue, a new heart. Now it gets even deeper, because now God will give you vigor. See, the reason why many of us don't have strength to do what God has promised us is because we lack vision and we lack virtue. But how many people know, as soon as you begin, is there anybody here that as soon as you begin to change your diet, you get more energy? Y'all didn't pray with me. As anybody here, you've gone through something, but as soon as you spend some time with God, has anybody here, you've been praying with God for something and fasting for something? But he may not address that thing, but he may address the blockage of the problem. I told you before, I went to the doctor, and I said my back was hurting me over here, and the doctor kept messing with me over here. I said, Doc, I said, it's hurting me over here. He kept dealing with me. I said, it's hurting me over here. He was dealing with me on the other side. I said, Doc, I began to challenge his credential. I said, what's going on here? He said, you see, Brother Delacon, he said, your pain is on one side. He said, where you're feeling the pain at is the symptom, is the expression, but the root of the pain is on the other side. You're putting too much weight on this side because this other side is weak. I need to balance
silence you out by addressing the root of the problem. I've come by to tell you that some people are sick. Some people, amen, are broke. Some people don't have jobs. Some people are unhappy. Some people are unrisen because you've not addressed the root of your problem. And your root of your problem oftentimes in church is that you don't know that the joy of the Lord is your strength because you are not excited about what God is excited about. And as soon as you change your attitude and renew your mind in Jesus and submit your life as a living sacrifice and you get aligned with God, He will start clearing up your finance. Stop clearing up your relationship. Stop clearing up your drugs, your alcohol, your nasty children. Give God some mighty praise. He will clear it up. All things work together for good.
You need vigor. And you need vigor. You need vigor. Because, here it is now. You know why you need vigor? Because this text, Minister EJ, is written when Israel, just like many of our communities, was under siege. Yeah, their enemies, help me Jesus, had surrounded them. There was nobody coming out and nobody coming in. Which means that there were no goods coming in and no goods going out. No ammunition coming in, no ammunition going out. No communication coming in, they are under siege. And many of us right now, we feel like we are under siege. I told you this man studied geography. And that's why you got to read up to verse 3, then you got to pause. Because verse 4 doesn't make sense following from chapter 3. Because all of a sudden he's dealing with the earth and the waters and the mountains being drowned, being troubled. And then he says, pause. And then he moves into, there is a river. Well, that don't make no sense. He wants you to pause. Because what he's saying is, though the mountains be gone into the sea, he says, even when it acts up and acts a fool and it acts crazy, everything around you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? He says that what will happen is the sea will roar. I need to stay here right where. Has anybody ever seen a clean kitchen before? How many of you know a clean kitchen, you really can't get fed in it? See, when I come home and the kitchen is clean, that means I got to go look for food. But when I pull up, y'all ain't gonna pray with me, and I begin to smell stuff from the garage door, and I begin to see paper bags on the floor, dishes popping up and down, and the stove, y'all ain't gonna pray with me. One is clean and one is messy. But in the clean kitchen, I need somebody who understands cooking to pray with me. When it's clean like that, ain't no food coming. But when everything is smoking and everything is fragrance and everything, the dishes need to be washed, I know that food is coming. I've come by to tell you that when the mountains are roaring, good God, somebody praise, that God, amen, when the waters are troubled, that means God is moving some things around. God is rearranging the furniture of our America, of our civilization, of our world. Don't you worry about COVID. Don't you worry about the economy. Don't you worry about racial tension. God is in the kitchen moving things around. That's why I said nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Give God some mighty praise. The reason why he's not afraid, because he understands that God is the engineer of the cosmos. If you're not used to folk cooking and they cook, you get afraid. But if you know that's how God works, you don't cry, you start celebrating. Is there anybody here that can start giving God some praise? The fact that he's doing something with the furniture, doing something with the food, doing something in the house to rearrange it? And you gotta pause and go home and pray about this, because anytime God is rearranging it, he's doing it for the pleasure of his children. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It is in his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, you shall live, the just shall live by faith. And I'm trying to tell you, I know what the newspapers are saying, but we don't go by the newspapers. We read this, but we place this in front of it. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me. Because you can read this and not understand this, but I guarantee you, if you stay right here, it'll tell you how everything is going to end up. Give God somebody praise. I got to move here. Finally, when the city was under siege, some engineer who had studied geology and geography said, we can get this done, but we're going to have to think different thoughts. You're going to have to think differently in this day. It's not, listen to me, because when I say this, people misunderstand. It's not that you don't discount history. I got enough degrees, and all of my degrees got a historical component, so I'm a lover of history. What you don't want to do is expect God to repeat the miracles of yesterday for today. If you read the Bible very carefully, there is no miracle that God ever repeated. That's why his mercies are new every morning. See, the miracle that you needed to get through high school may not be the miracle that you need to get a job. And the miracle that you needed, amen, when you were sick may not be the same miracle that you need to raise your grandchildren. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me. Sometimes he will open up the Red Sea. Sometimes you will have to use the jawbone of a donkey. Sometimes he will keep you in a fiery furnace and join you. Sometimes he will turn the lion's ground into gospel music. Sometimes he will have Peter walk on water. Sometimes he will set up a restaurant to serve fish sandwiches so good that didn't need ketchup, it didn't need pepper sauce. God never repeats. So I've come by to tell you that right now, if you're living in 2020 and you plan to engage in this United States this fall, you better start looking for some new ideas in order to engage this reality. So you know what they did? Somebody who had studied that same earth that roared, he used that same earth to get his liberation. Those people built underground streams, Sister Gigi. They knew that they could not walk. And of course, there was no aeronautical technology. So they went underground and built underground streams in order to bring in resources to the city of God. You know why I can shout and say amen? Because when you hang out with the Spirit, Brother Mike, your enemies who think that they have you surrounded, Sister Jackson, Sister Gail, what God will do is God will give us some underground. Y'all missed that. Let me help you. God will give you a Harriet Tubman spirit that your enemies are going to be standing over on top of what is going to defeat them. That's why you can't talk too much. You can't shout out what God has given you to everybody. Some things are meant to be kept as a mystery. And I've come by to tell you right now that if you stand on God and you stay rooted in his word, that God will give us some invisible resources that the enemy cannot see because God is standing in his temple. Give God somebody praise. And so here it is. What he's trying to say is, these times are not meant for the faint of heart. These times are not just meant for people that write in their Bible. These are times meant for people who live the Bible. This is about whether or not you know the Lord right now. This is whether or not You're not going to be able to rely on a church building sometime. You're not going to have a choir. You're going to have to develop your own relationship with God. And here it is now. I close with this. It would be one thing, and I could overlook it, if it said God is a help in trouble. But it said God is a very present help in time of trouble. And maybe what God is saying to us in this week is, if you watch the TV, you're going to see one thing. But if you watch the truth, you're going to see another thing. God is saying, if you watch me, I'm more present right now in the hurricane, in the wildfire, in the shooting, in the tension than I've ever been. If sin abound, does grace abound much more? God said to Kumbo, don't leave that church until you tell them I'm God. And beside me, there is no other. I am that I am, I will that I will, and I am what I will, I was what I was. Tukumbo, you tell them that I am God and I do my best work in the midst of trouble. When the Pharaoh came on both sides, he said, I open up the Red Sea. I do my best work in the midst of trouble. He said, don't you understand that when Jacob wrestled with me all night, he wrestled to the break of dawn. I do my best when the time of trouble. Don't you understand when the whole earth was rocking and reeling? I told Noah, I built him an ark, and I said, I'm going to transport you to dry land. I do my best work in times of trouble. Say, don't you remember David when Goliath was there? David said, is there not a cause? And I got you stones. I do my best work in times of trouble. Is there anybody here that has seen God do his best work in time of trouble? Give God some mighty praise. I was there with David and Daniel in the lion's den. I turned the lion's den into a Holy Ghost gospel. I do my best work in times of trouble. Don't you understand? When the children of God were hungry, I broke 5 loaves and fishes. Is anybody here that can give God some praise? I do my best work. Even when Peter was drowning, but he began to look at me. I said, I do my best work in time of trouble. Sometimes God will bring you out of trouble, but sometimes God will leave you right there and he will walk with you and he will talk with you in the midst of trouble. Give God some mighty praise. Tukumbo, somebody still ain't hearing me. Tell him when I sent my son to the cross, he climbed over 40 in 2 generations. They beat him. They crowned him right there on the cross. I did my best work. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. For me, he died. His best work. The centurion said, he must be the Son of God. My best work. I loved you in spite of you. My best work. I died for you. But early Sunday morning, got up with all power. My best work in times of trouble. Can I get somebody to praise his name? Can I get somebody to get on the organ? Can I get somebody to lift him up? God is, God is, God is, God is, God is our refuge and our strength. Not a little help. Not a quarter help, not a 50% help, but a very present help in time of trouble. Though the mountains roar, though the sea is troubled, God is truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, but yet that scaffold sways the future. God is. Great is his faithfulness. Give God some mighty praise. Give him some real praise. He will give us an underground railroad. The doors of the church are open. My brother and my sister. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sing quiet. Glory.
Jesus.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Promise to keep me, never to leave.